For the Eric John Phelps 24/7 World Radio Podcast on this April 30th, 2026. Welcome to the podcast today. I'm coming live from Newmanstown, Pennsylvania. And the title of this broadcast is Generation Z. What to expect? Generation Z. The purpose of this broadcast is to give basic tenets that you can remember that have resulted in the present world system series of world events today. And again, I make this for the Generation Z American people, particularly the white American young men who are primarily the target of annihilation, of this, what appears to be the final curtain of the United States of America during this 21st century. And I want to bring you into this understanding through knowing a series of events that are undisputed, at least by those who are honest, so that you can know what to do and possibly escape this coming cataclysm here in America. But before I give you the remedies to this, I want to review a history with you that is simple, to the point, easily provable, so that you can know what to do. You know where all of this is coming from. And it's not the Jews. It's the Jesuit order ruling the world from their headquarters in Borgo Santo Spirito number 5, just outside of Vatican walls in Rome. The Jesuits rule the papacy. They rule the entire Vatican Empire. They rule its politics. They rule its banking. They rule all of its ambassadors, because it has ambassadors called papal nuncios to nearly all nations. You need to know, number one, Generation Z, that the Roman papacy is a sovereign nation state and an international empire, the wealth of which is beyond our wildest dreams. All nations, all empires pale in comparison. So you must know that the Roman papacy, headquartered in Rome, in sovereign state of Vatican City, rules the world and presently is unrivaled by any nation or any people of a nation. That's where we are. So I want to go back especially to deal with certain American facts that you will be able to validate. I validate them all in my book, Vatican Assassins, third edition of 2007. You can get the ebook on my website, VaticanAssassins.org or 247worldradio.com. But you need to know these basic historical facts of America. The first fact is that the Federal Republic of the United States was founded in 1789 when the Constitution of 1787 went into effect, with 9 states ratifying that contract, that trust. The states were the parties to the compact. The people of each sovereign state agreed to enter into this limited federal union for their mutual benefit. And the men involved in the government would be doing it as trustees for the benefit of the people. The people were the beneficiaries. The people in office were the trustees. The Constitution is a trust. And that's according to, among others, the great jurist who wrote Maxims of Equity and Commentaries on the Constitution, named Joseph Story. Joseph Story tells us that the Constitution is a compact, it is a trust, it is a confederation of sovereign nation states, confederated together for certain limited express purposes, for the benefits of the states in that union. This union was a white union. It was for the benefit of the white man alone. Blacks were not citizens. It was not created for black men. It was not created for Asians. It was created exclusively for white men, and specifically the white men who were part of its founding were white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. At the time of the founding of America, only 1% of the population was Catholic. 300,000 Catholic, 30,000 Roman Catholics with 24 priests. That was the Catholic population of the United States in 1787. Okay. So it was 99% Protestant and Baptist, and the majority of the blacks, most of whom were slaves, were Baptists. So it was a white, Anglo-Saxon, Protestant, Baptist, federal, limited republic of these United States of America. And the Lord intervened against the British and against the Jesuits in their quest to prevent the founding of this limited federal constitutional government that was Presbyterian in form, and the Bill of Rights was Baptist. The First Amendment is called the Baptist First Amendment, giving freedom of conscience, speech, and press to Americans in the country, which I would agree should never have been done for the Roman Catholics, because Roman Catholicism does not believe in freedom of press, freedom of speech, freedom of conscience, and persecutes the Protestants and the Baptists who believe the Bible when we're pursuing freedom of speech, conscience, and press. So no, there should have never been those freedoms given to the Roman Catholics. And we have 200 years of history prior to that to show, actually, well, 200 years prior to that, to show the persecution of the Protestants led by their persecution of us Protestants and Baptists by the Roman Catholics led by their priests to rob, rape, murder, and kill us wherever they went. The first great murder in this country was in the late 1500s in St. Augustine in Florida, when the Jesuits led certain Roman Catholics to mass murder the French Protestant Calvinist Huguenots. And it's the same today. So I want you to know, Generation Z, that you have inherited the history of the greatest white Anglo-Saxon Protestant and Baptist Republic in world history. It became ultimately the mightiest republic. It was becoming great in trade, and from 1800 to 1850, 1856 thereabouts. So the Jesuits hated the American Constitution. The Jesuits did not have a hand in the founding of America. They had a hand in the revolution on the side of Great Britain to stop it. They controlled King George III. The men who fought the American Revolution against the British troops were fighting against the papacy, against the Jesuit order, having controlled King George III. And that's why they did such merciless things like rounding up the Protestants and herding them into their churches and setting the churches on fire. And you can read that in a book called The Light and the Glory by Peter Marshall. We were fighting the papacy. We were fighting the Jesuit order at the time, which was suppressed by the Pope. It had been suppressed. But nonetheless, they wanted to retain the 13 colonies in the orb of the British Empire that under King George III, they controlled. So, that's what you need to know about the founding of our country. As an aside, the Jesuits want to make you ashamed of our country because it had slavery. Well, the Bible does not condemn the institution of slavery. Show me anywhere in the New Testament, or the Old Testament for that matter, where the institution of master-servant relationship is condemned. It is nowhere. So slavery was not America's original sin. That's a lie from the Jesuit order and all their communist coadjutors and agents. The sin is in the mistreatment of the slaves. The sin is in the disobedience and revolt of the slaves against their masters. The slave rebellions were all sin, and the abuse of the masters of the slaves was sin. But the institution of master-servant relationship is not sin, not condemned, and Jesus Christ healed slaves of certain men and never condemned the slave owner for having slaves. So this communist ideology that all men were created equal of the Declaration of Independence applied to both whites and blacks is nonsense. That applied only to white men. And it was a rebuke against the doctrine of divine right of the Jesuit order that they claimed King George had, that certain men are born to rule. And it's tough for you. Certain white men are born to rule other white men. And this is all repudiated with the Reformation, Lex Rex, the law is king, and all men are under the law of God, namely white men, because we're talking about white Protestant England. So the Constitution, the preamble of the Constitution, of the Declaration of Independence, we're saying that all white men are created equal. And Robert Toombs of Georgia, who was a senator in Georgia at the time of the war between the states, will bring this out in his works. Had nothing to do with blacks. Blacks were not citizens, and therefore they were not part of We the People. It was a white, federal, Protestant, Calvinistic, Presbyterian constitution with limited government, born out of the English Reformation with those Presbyterians and Baptist Calvinists fighting their guts out to resist the papal annihilations of that people in England. So, this is the backdrop of the founding of the United States of America in 1789. It's white, it's Protestant, it's Baptist, it's Bible-based, Reformation Bible-based, namely King James Bible-based. Geneva Bible was also there, but it was abandoned as an inferior translation by the Protestants and Baptists. And so, that's what we had. The Jesuits hated this government, and so they had hatched out a conspiracy. After the Napoleonic Wars, and in 1814, 1815, with the Holy Alliance, they conspired a conspiracy, they set out a conspiracy to destroy the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Baptist United States of America. They furthered that with another conspiracy called the Secret Treaty of Verona in 1822. So, a conspiracy was hatched out to destroy the Federal Republic of the United States by Rome and her Jesuits, using Great Britain and its king, King George III. These are facts. They cannot be disputed. And so bank on it. That's what happened. And by the way, if anybody calls you a conspiracy theorist, make sure you call them a coincidence theorist. If I'm a conspiracy theorist, does that mean you're a coincidence theorist? You mean things just happen by coincidence? You think wars just happen by coincidence? They're planned. They're financed. And the men carrying them out know exactly what they're doing. It's conspiracy. It's a design, as the writers of the Declaration of Independence wrote, a design evinced against us to reduce us. A design is a conspiracy. So, they plotted a conspiracy. This conspiracy would result in the anti-slavery agitation that was hatched out in New England against the southern states. So it would be a geographical division between North and South called the anti-slavery agitation, hatched out by infidels, radical red Republicans, those in the North who wanted to really abolish the Union under the guise of abolishing slavery. See? Those in the North couldn't care less about the black slaves in the South. And Malcolm X was right about that when he said those things. They didn't give a hoot about the black man. They just wanted to use the black man of the South to incite him to rise up and kill the white men of the South, to join up in the Yankee Union Army that was communist, to carry out a war of annihilation against the white men of the South. And then after that, of course, they didn't care about the black man. They never gave him any land. They would make him a citizen of the United States with the 14th Amendment along with the whites, because it's going to be a new national citizenship. But they couldn't care less about the black men, and hence the blacks go back to a slavery that's worse than the slavery that they had under the black codes. My point is that the people of the North didn't give a damn about the blacks of the South. And I'll use damn because it's a Bible word. So don't talk to me about this righteous resistance to slavery by the people of the North rising up to resist the slavery in the South. And mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord, and he has trampled out the vineyards where the grapes of wrath are stored. The battle hymn of the Republic, the battle hymn of the Pope Socialist Communist Republic, with an army of 1.5 million men for a war of annihilation that certain Southern leaders would participate in, like Jefferson Davis, like Robert E. Lee, like James Longstreet, like the Jewish Judah Benjamin. They were all working together against the white Protestants and Baptists and the black Baptists of the South to betray them, to make sure their armies would lose in the field. The greatest loss being Gettysburg in 1863, when Robert E. Lee deliberately sacrificed his army at Gettysburg, which I've taught. So if you want to shed a few tears, just go see the Battle of Gettysburg and see where that Southern general was ordered by Lee to pick a general Pickett's charge to go across that flat area with bumps and holes, which was a total annihilation of his division by the Yankee sharpshooters and grape shot and all that other stuff. It was annihilation. Lee annihilated his army, and he also annihilated it with a bad order, ordering General Hood of Texas to go up Emmitsburg Road, which was annihilation, and General Hood objected to the order, and still Lee ordered it. Lee ordered the destruction of Texas General Hood's cavalry and his soldiers, and the destruction of Pickett's division. And when he did that, he successfully threw the Battle of Gettysburg, enabling the Yankee Union Communists to ultimately take over and then ultimately carpetbag the South, put it under reconstruction of 12 years with robbery, rape, and pillage of the white Protestant and Baptist Southern people. It's a horrible, terrible history brought about by the Republicans, who were the real communists of the day. So, don't want to get off on a sidetrack there. Just I want you to know that the Jesuits destroyed our first republic with the war between the states, because remember, the South was right. It had a right to secede, to leave the Union, and there's a book with that title called The South Was Right. So now, after the war between the states is lost, the War of Northern Aggression is what it really ought to be called. It was not a civil war. A civil war is a war between two factions of the same country. The Southern states had left the United States. They were no longer part of it. They had issued their ordinances of secession. It wasn't a civil war. It was a war of Northern aggression by Lincoln and his radical Red Republicans when they called out for 75,000 volunteers out of Pennsylvania to invade into the South, to South Carolina, and they would have to attack through Virginia. And when Virginia faced this, they say, okay, you're not going to attack our Southern South Carolina through us, and so we are declaring seceding. And so Virginia was the last Southern state to secede, and they didn't want to, because without Virginia, there is no United States of America. It's the most important state in the creation and founding of the Federal Republic of the United States, which the Jesuits hated. They hated Virginia. That's why they broke off a piece of it in the war between the states called West Virginia. And it remains so to this day. So, after the war, the South is in ruins. The city of Richmond is destroyed. The city of Columbia, South Carolina, is destroyed. The city of Atlanta is destroyed. They've destroyed several major cities, aided and abetted by Jefferson Davis and certain of his traitorous generals, like Longstreet and Lee and Joe Johnston and others, while the great Southern generals like Thomas Jonathan Stonewall Jackson, the Presbyterian Calvinist, and also Nathan Bedford Forrest, who was not saved at the time. But these two Southern generals were invincible. And the Lord blessed their resistance to this attack into their homeland, into their country. So I'm giving you these generalizations. You can ferret them out in the books that you want to find. I have a whole list of them. They're in my book, Vatican Assassins. But if you want more, you can contact me. So we have to learn that the South was right and the North was wrong. On the ruins of that, the radical Red Republicans declared to pass the 13th Amendment, no more involuntary servitude, which every Southern state government voted for except Mississippi. Okay, you're going to abolish involuntary servitude? Okay. Now what are you going to do with all these people on the street? They don't have any masters. Most of them can't read. What are you going to do with this black population? I know, we'll make them citizens. So we will put the 14th Amendment into place when it was not really ratified. And then we're going to institute socialism with Thaddeus Stevens Freedmen's Bureau. So we're going to use American money to educate them and so on. And so that's what we'll do. We'll create now a new national citizenship. Federal citizenship is gone. Federal citizenship only for whites is gone. Federal citizenship only for whites, which privileges and immunities included the Bill of Rights, is now gone. And this new national citizenship would be for both whites and blacks of July 28, 1868. And the Supreme Court would decide 4 years later in the Slaughterhouse decision that the privileges and immunities of this new national citizenship do not include the Bill of Rights, do not include fundamental rights, do not include common law rights. So it greatly enhances the power of the new national government. National citizenship brought national government. Federal citizenship brought federal government. So this is now a great change in America. As of July 28, 1868, it ought to be a day of mourning for all of us. For the cruelest thing the Jesuits could have done with their radical Red Republicans is to make white men equal with the black man. That would create a huge tax on white people that we would have to make up for their insufficiencies, which is exactly what the Jesuits want. Part of attacking the whites of America was to make them equal in the law with the blacks. It didn't benefit the white people, it benefited the blacks. But little did they know they were being used for the destruction of the whites of America, particularly the whites of the South. So, because as Jefferson said, both races equally free cannot live under the same government. I will repeat that. Both races equally free cannot live under the same government. Jefferson said this. And you can find it in a quote given by Carlton Putnam in his great work, Rome and Reason, or Race and Reason, that he wrote in, 1961. Carlton Putnam was the founder of Delta Airlines. Well, that's a reason to boycott Delta Airlines, because its founder was a racist and a bigot. You read it, and Carlton Putnam quotes certain black men in his book that said, we don't want anything to do with white culture. We want to have our own race, our own people, our own language, our own nation. Read the book. Get it. I recorded it years ago. You can find it in the archives. So, now they're building their empire. They're building their national empire from sea to shining sea, which was written, America the Beautiful was written by a lesbian. I refuse to sing that song. God shed his grace on thee, I'm crowned thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. They're making an empire out of the national government from the East Coast to the West Coast. And to do this, you have to engage in the annihilation of the Indian nations. The War of the Great Plains from 1865, after the end of the war between the states and the South was put under martial law, Reconstruction for 12 years. During that time, they're going to use the Yankee Union Army, because we got 1.5 million of them, and we'll wage war on the Indian nations. And the ones who lead this? Why, it is none other than Philip Sheridan, the Roman Catholic king of the Yankee Union Army, and his right-hand man and advisor, Jesuit Pierre de Schmitt. Jean-Pierre de Schmitt. And he is the de Schmitt University there, in the college in Spokane, Washington. You can go there and you can take a look. Dedicated to de Schmitt. De Schmitt was the most powerful Jesuit of his day. He was controlling the annihilation of the Indian nations using his son of the church, Roman Catholic Philip Sheridan. So don't blame all white men for that. You black communists, you Jewish communists, blame where the blame ought to be, right on the papacy using its Jesuit priests and its Yankee Union horde that had decimated the South, destroyed Southern cities, killed one out of four white men in the South, and then turned their sword against the American Indian nations, because you can't have an empire with the Indian nations in existence. So they got to go. And we'll kill all the buffalo. We'll send our Irish Catholics out of Massachusetts and kill all the buffalo, destroying the food supply for the Indian nations, and we will consign them to little Indian reservations so they can make jewelry. What a sin and a crime. And then we'll send them to Indian schools where we'll rob them of their language, we'll rob them of their history, we'll rob them of their culture. That's the sin of this government after the war between the states, when it was made national, a national government ruled by the Jesuits out of District of Catholics, District of Communists, later District of Coloreds, Washington, District of Columbia, that will become the Military District of Columbia on March 9th, 1933, when the Jesuits would impose their military government that we've been living under for the last 93 years. Okay. The Jesuits now have their national government in place. It has the Yankee Union hordes, the banditti of the Yankee Union hordes. Many, many Roman Catholics in it. They were encouraged to come over here to give $400 and citizenship if they'd fight in the Yankee Union Army. So they brought all these Irish Catholic drunks over here to be in the Yankee Union Army. They were called the bummers when they were in the South, pillaging and raping and plundering everywhere they went, particularly from Atlanta to Savannah. Sherman's March to the Sea. What a disgrace! And so, after that, we now have the war in the Indian nations. And by 1895, with, you know, Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee, the Indian wars will be essentially over for the building of the empire. The building of the empire will be in the hands of cartel capitalists who will be primarily Masons and Protestants. Protestant Freemasonry, and this is where you see the Jesuit connection to Scottish Rite Freemasonry. This is how they got control of all the Protestant denominations, through Scottish Rite Freemasonry. So, the Jesuits would then have their monopoly in the steel industry for the building of steel ships and cannon and everything necessary for war. The Jesuits would have their oil monopoly so that they could have a monopoly in oil mine drilling and production, so that they could run their military empire that would be commercial. To have a huge military, you have to have a huge commerce, because the old saying is, commerce is the sinew of war. It's the muscle of war. Why do you think the Jesuits have built a huge commerce for China? For their huge military-industrial complex they're going to use against us, because the Jesuits rule communist China, which I'll prove in a few minutes. So, they build their monopolies, their cartel capitalist monopolies. A book you want to get on this is called The Robber Barons. Another one's called Real Lace, America's Irish Rich, by the author, which is Stephen Birmingham. And certain multi-millionaires like Thomas Fortune Ryan, that nobody ever talks about, and the man that worked for him was the Jew the Freemasonic Jew, Bernard Baruch. Right. So, that's something the John Birch Society won't tell you. They'll just harp on Bernard Baruch, but they'll never tell you about Thomas Fortune Ryan, the Irish Catholic, multi-millionaire, just as rich as the founder of the Jesuit novitiate over here with his wife Genevieve Brady, Nicholas Brady. So Nicholas Brady, Thomas Fortune Ryan, these are the huge, massive, wealthy Irish Catholics running Wall Street for the benefit of the Jesuit order. And then they'll found Wall Street as they're building their empire so people can invest in Wall Street and invest in the corporations that will be used for the war effort of the civilian government that will later be replaced with a military government on March 9th, 1933. So, for this to happen, there has to be a national bank. So, meanwhile, the Jesuits will bring America out of isolation, which is Protestant foreign policy, into intervention, and this is with the Spanish-American War. I show how the Jesuits started it. They blew up the USS Maine and Havana Harbor. The Jesuits started the war for the breaking up of the Roman Catholic Spanish Empire and the building of the new American Empire that the Jesuits were in charge of through the District of Columbia. So now, the next thing they're going to do is they're going to create the Federal Reserve Bank. They're going to do that in 1913. So now there's going to be a national bank that in 1935, with the Banking Act, would be given the monopoly on creating all credit in the American Empire. So the Federal Reserve Act is put in place. The Federal Reserve Bank is put in place. It doesn't have a monopoly yet until 1935. And in 1933, the Jesuits will impose, and this is a very important thing for you Generation Z people to know, the Jesuits imposed emergency war powers military government on March 9th, 1933. I will say that again. The Jesuits, using Edmund Walsh, overseeing Franklin Damnable Roosevelt, who would issue Proclamation 2039 on March 6th and then 2040 on March 9th, the Congress approving and confirming all these proclamations on March 9th, 1933, supposedly confirming. So now we have an emergency war powers military government, and the president has now morphed into a commander-in-chief. He's primarily a military dictator and has been since the days of Franklin Damnable Roosevelt, that piece of white trash who didn't have polio, but he had syphilis, and he dies of syphilis. Shot in the head at Warm Springs, Georgia, didn't have an open casket, because he wouldn't go along with the decimation of Japan and the airborne nuclear war hoax. So FDR is terminated. We'll get back to that. So the next major issue after the Federal Reserve Act is World War I. World War I was an act of sin and wickedness on the part of the Jesuit order using the British Empire to destroy the historic White Saxon Lutheran Prussian Empire, the German Empire that had been founded in 1871 by Otto von Bismarck. So the Jesuits used Great Britain, and then later in 1917, they bring America into World War I, and together we now have the beginning of the Anglo-American military-industrial complex to be used by the Jesuit order to destroy nations not subject to the Pope and then erect dictators in those nations loyal to the Pope, thereby restoring the Pope's political power over all these nations that the British and the Americans go to war against. Are you with me? That's World War I. There's a book on this. It's titled Rome and the War, written by an anonymous writer, and he tells you about the Jesuit concern, the Jesuit power behind World War I. Just a continuation, really, of the Franco-Prussian War, when the French lost to the Germans, and now the French will be mass murdered and annihilated in trenches in World War I, like at Verdun. If you've never been to Verdun, you need to go there, where the bayonets of the French soldiers are sticking out of the ground and they're still buried underneath through the bombs exploding and being buried alive with the dirt. World War I was the destruction of vibrant German Protestant manhood, Prussian manhood, and vibrant French Catholic manhood, because the French had expelled the Jesuits several times from their country, and so the Jesuits decided that this French manhood needs to be punished. So we'll pit the French men against the German men for their mutual annihilation, and after that we will control the governments of those nations for their further annihilation in World War II. So World War I is from 1914 to 1918. Terrible period of time, the Jesuits running both sides. Both sides. They will control the Treaty of Versailles. And at that Treaty of Versailles in 1919, they will guarantee war in 20 years, and that's exactly what happened. That's what Lloyd George says. What if some woman came up to him and says, "What have you done? We've guaranteed war in 20 years, lady." So in 1939, World War II begins. In the meantime, the Jesuits are overseeing their Bolshevik Revolution in 1917 for the removal of the Tsar and the imposition of Bolshevik communism that the Jesuits will control, and they will very cleverly have upfront Jews running much of it. Lenin was a quarter Jew, Stalin was no Jew, but there were other Jews. Felix Dzerzhinsky, the head of Cheka, he wasn't a Jew, he was a Polish Roman Catholic who loved the Jesuits. But they'll make it look Jewish, so that the world can blame the Bolshevik Revolution on those dirty Jews, when it was financed and overseen by Knights of Malta on Broad Street in New York City. And that is proven by Anthony Sutton in his great work, Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution. He doesn't mention the Knights of Malta, but he does mention Wall Street financing it. Particularly Joseph P. Grace, who is a white Gentile out of New York. His son would be J. Peter Grace, who would be head of the Knights of Malta in 1963 and oversee and coordinate the Kennedy assassination, as J. Peter Grace was subject to Francis Cardinal Spellman, the American Pope out of New York City. So the Jesuits put the Bolsheviks in power. The Jesuits put Stalin in power by 1933. Actually, earlier on in the 20s. But in 1933, when the purges will take place, from 36 to 39, Joseph Stalin will purge all the leading Jews out of the Bolshevik movement except Lazar Kaganovich, who will be his token Jew. All the other Jews will die, including Leon Trotsky in 1941, Stalin having sent an assassin to kill him in Mexico City. The USSR is run by the Jesuit order since its inception. One of the most important Jesuits there was Bishop Ropp, R-O-P-P, and you can read about it in the book Descent into Darkness by a Roman Catholic priest of Notre Dame University. Descent into Darkness. Okay, so the Jesuits ran the USSR by 1922, after the revolution, after the war from 1918 to 1922, when this government under Warren Harding, 33rd degree Freemason Harding, financed the Bolsheviks, financed the Red Army, and didn't do anything for the White Army that was Orthodox on the good side. So, New York, run by the Jesuits, facilitated the Bolshevik Revolution and put their puppets in power for the destruction, ultimately, of the Orthodox Church and the leaders of the Orthodox Church. But we're going to have the destruction of Russian manhood that was involved, ultimately, their fathers were involved in the expulsion of the Jesuits from 1820 to 1825. No, from 1820 to 1917, when the Jesuits were formally allowed re-entrance into Russia in 1917, after the Bolshevik Revolution, 1922. From 1820 to 1922, the Jesuits were expelled out of Russia until readmitted by the Bolsheviks, the Masonic Bolsheviks, showing the Jesuits oversaw them and controlled them. So now the Jesuits conquer the Russian Empire, the Orthodox Empire, which according to Edmund Walsh in his book Total Empire, was the greatest single event since the fall of the Roman Empire in, 476? The Jesuits ran the USSR. After that, they will be involved in the Spanish Civil War from 1936 to 1939, where those savages under the savage Generalissimo Franco will kill approximately, it's not 600,000, but rather 2 million Spaniards who resisted the Jesuits, expelled the Jesuits out of Spain in 1931-1932. And so the Jesuits will raise up their Generalissimo Franco, who will be good buddies with Adolf Hitler and Benito Mussolini. And all three of them, by the way, utilizing Islam for the destruction of targeted populations. That's right. So when you have a new right faction coming to power, it will use Islam for the destruction of targeted populations. That's Benito Mussolini will use Islam for the destruction of black Ethiopians who were Coptic Christians, some 750,000 of them. Franco will use Islam for the destruction of Spanish Protestants. You can read all about that in a book called Days of Our Years by Pierre Van Passen. Put him in the bull rink and killed him. They defecated on their Bibles in their churches and took turns gang raping their women, which is, you know, typical for the Muslim Arab savages. That's what they're going to do here, by the way, ladies. So why do you think all these Muslims have been brought here? Why do you think this emergency war powers military government established on March 9, 1933 has brought all these Muslims into the United States? For the same reason Hitler used Haji Amin al-Husseini with his Muslim savage hordes for the destruction of the Orthodox Christians in Croatia during World War II. Some, 1,500,000 of them. They killed Jews and they killed Orthodox Serbians using Muslims, the Hanshar Division. Fascist New Right uses Islam for the destruction of targeted populations. And that's what, when the fascists come to power here, after they're finished using Trump to set the stage, they're going to use Islam for our destruction. Just as they did in Spain, just as they did in Ethiopia, and just as they did in Croatia. Islam is the sword of the church. Chris Pinner did a very good thing in one of his broadcasts showing that the Vatican has a prayer room for the Muslims. And we see the Pope John Paul II kissing the Quran. Well, why wouldn't he? Because the Muslims are his soldiers to carry out annihilation against targeted populations. And that annihilation can be physical, or we can miscegenate and race mix and mongrelize your white nation into a combination of Arabs and whites that are unable to sustain high white Protestant civilization. So we'll have mongrelization and race mixing and bastardry everywhere because we've come and we will impregnate your women. That's the Jesuit war using the penis of the Muslim Arabs against the white women of historic white Protestant nations. That's right. But then again, most of these white women deserve it because they're all feminists and they don't need a man. So that's their judgment. Getting raped by the savage Muslims. So, we learn what? We learn that in a new right political dictatorship, those men always use Islam. But it's going to be the same way with communism. The Jesuits used Islam under communism, under Stalin. True, Muslims were killed just like certain Roman Catholics were killed. But essentially, Islam is another tool of communism for the destruction of the targeted populations of the nation that they've attacked. So we covered the Bolshevik Revolution, we covered the Spanish Civil War, and we've covered World War I previous to that. And so now we're going into the 30s, and in the 30s, 1933, FDR will be brought to power. He will impose military government with Proclamation 2040 in March 9th, 1933. So our civilian government in America was ousted. We haven't been under constitutional limited civilian government since 1933, dear listener, Gen Z. We've been under military government since March 9th, 1933. That's why when you go into the banks, they're flying military colors. When you go into the schools, they're flying military colors. When you go into the courts, they're flying military colors. I haven't been in a federal district court that didn't fly them, and I've been in probably 10 of them. Military jurisdiction for all you enemy belligerent U.S. citizens. And all the judges know it. They know it, and they keep proceeding against you because they're cowards, and they ultimately hate your guts because you're the enemy, and they're warring on you in their courtrooms using emergency war powers, military jurisdiction, proceeding according to the jurisprudence of an admiralty jurisprudence. The judge is the captain of the ship, man. This is my court, man. Don't you get it? This is my court. Shut your mouth. I'll hold you in contempt. That's the captain of the ship. That's not civilian due process at common law. The courts belong to we the people. Now the courts belong to the military dictator. And every court sits in a federal military jurisdiction out of Trading with the Enemy Act. Statute 50 U.S.C. 4316. That's the jurisprudence, that's the jurisdictional statute that all the state courts and the federal courts sit in. And I found that out the hard way after 4 years of litigation in a couple different cases. Okay? Just finished one with the Supreme Court. Brought a petition for writ of certiorari in the Supreme Court stating that my friend had the pre-March 9th private citizenship status and that the court can only give civilian due process. And put in the, finally got the petition for writ of certiorari in there after three tries. And the Supreme Court decided they're not going to hear it, boy! Doesn't mean we're wrong. It means they're not going to hear it. Because if they decided to hear it, if they rule for me, for my student, why then that overthrows the entire jurisprudence of the country. If they rule against him, they got to tell him why. And they don't want to do that either. They don't want to tell you under military jurisdiction, boy. So therefore, we're not going to hear the petition for writ of certiorari. Collect $200 and go to hell. And by the way, the flag that the military Supreme Court sits in, the Supreme Court of the United States sits in, that its Supreme Court building was built after the imposition of military government in, what, 1935? They built that Roman monster of a Supreme Court. The flag's flying in there, and there are two of them. They're all military colors with a Roman eagle at the top. We're trying to tell you this is Rome. Roman jurisdiction. Roman emergency war powers, military jurisdiction with a military government. This is all Rome, man. There's a book titled, Are We Rome? Are We Rome? Written by Cullen Murphy. Get it? Because we are. This is the 14th Amendment, the Holy Roman 14th Amendment, corporate fascist, socialist, communist, American empire that finances both the communists and the Nazis at the same time. That's why they finance the Communist Democratic Party, which is sheer communism, and they finance the Radical Red Republican Party, which is new right, quasi-fascism, just as Martin Lee said we were going to get back in 1998 when he wrote his book, The Beast Reawakens. And so that's where we're going. Generation Z, we have a government that hates you. We have a government that's against you. We have a government that's taken your gold coins in 1933. We have a military government that's taken your silver coins in 1967, 68. We have a military government that's taken us off any kind of stability of gold in 1971 with Richard Milhouse Nixon. Proclamation in 1971, removing the gold standard. So now they can do anything they want to, they can create as much credit as they want to, and the destruction of you while jacking up the price of everything so you can starve to death because you can't afford a loaf of bread. And that's coming, Generation Z. That's coming for you. And when it comes for you, I want you to know who did it to you. And don't you think by joining the Republicans, you're going to deliver yourself. The Republicans are just as compromised as the Democrats. Why do you think the Epstein files aren't open? Because you got just as many Republicans as you do Democrats going to their sex pervert Epstein Island. And Trump was there also. So don't talk to me about the Epstein files. They're all guilty. They're all working for the Pope. It's all Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission, Rockefellers. Rockefellers were built by the Jesuits. If you get the book John D. Rockefeller and His Career, written in 1912, it tells you that he modeled the whole oil monopoly, Standard Oil Trust, after the Jesuit order, and he considered himself to be the Jesuit general of Standard Oil Trust, of the Seven Sisters. But because the Protestants and the Baptists have abandoned exposing Rome, they didn't say jack diddly against Rockefeller and his connection with the Jesuits. And that goes for the John Birch Society, too. John Birch Society is essentially Masonic and Roman Catholic, and they'll never finger the order or Rome for the communism in this country. By the way, Chris Pinto's done another good job showing Jesuitism and communism and Marx all working for the order. You can get his stuff at Adullam Films. Very well done. The Jesuits are the masters of communism, as I taught in my book. He's further proven it, and Marx was tutored by the Jesuit general Peter Bex in London in writing the manifesto. Communism is Jesuitism. And so when America's under communism, like it is today, and by the way, under any communist country, you can't own a gun there, boy. They want to get the guns more than anything else. That's the last bulwark of political liberty. Then they can bring in their foreign soldiers and robbery, pillage, and destroy, and plunder after they have a plundering of the new right here when they create their new SS or whatever they're going to call it, Department of Homeland Security, to do the roundups and send us all to the concentration camps here, just as they set up concentration camps throughout Europe. That's where we're going, Gen Z. So, why has this happened? The reason why this has happened is because the Protestant and Baptist churches, for the most part, have departed from the Reformation English Bible that was the foundation of our Federal Republic. The judgment of God upon us was when we began to embrace the American Standard Version of 1901, which is based on a corrupted manuscript, Sinaiticus. It was written by a forgery written by a man who confessed to it, and there's a special DVD you can get from Adullam Films by Chris Pinto that proves it. The Sinaiticus was a forgery, and David Daniels out of Chick Publication further proves it. It did some great work showing that all these new Bibles based on forgeries like Codex Vaticanus and Codex Sinaiticus have nothing to do with the Reformation Bible, and if you use one of those Bibles, you have no power in your life. And the Lord will not bless your life in using it. So therefore, what do? We go back to the Reformation King James Bible in its present edition of 1769. And that's the Bible of our churches. And then we no longer go to the government, the military government, and beg for a tax exemption. Oh no, we don't want 501c3, we're 508c1a. We're a church or an integrated auxiliary outside the taxing jurisdiction of the Pope's, of Ignatius's Revenue Service, IRS. It's not the Israeli Revenue Service, it's Ignatius's Revenue Service, where they have committed the greatest fraud and extortion in world history by income excising tax the wages of individuals who are working as a matter of fundamental right and not as a matter of federal privilege, unless they filled out a W-4 and signed it with an unconditional signature. And now, boy, you got a federal privilege to work for the federal government, for the national government, and everything you got is gross income, and we can excise tax it as much as we want for the war effort. Generation Z, everybody out there working is working for the war effort. All the withholding is for the war effort. That's why they call it the workforce. The workforce. What's the workforce for? It's to build and propagate and continue the military industrial complex financed by the workforce working out of federal privilege and paying an excise tax on the wages that they have earned with their blood, sweat, and tears. That's what's being done to you right now, Generation Z. If you don't like it, you need to take my income tax class. I ask $4,000. It's for 3 days, but I teach you how to avoid it. And it generally works. We don't ask for refunds anymore. Some of my students got refunds, but we don't do it anymore. They're going to use the axe on you called a $5,000 penalty for asserting your right to work as a fundamental right and want a refund of the previous year because you didn't know you were working as a matter of privilege. Huh? But most importantly, after we return to the Reformation Bible, we believe it. We believe the gospel now because we need to be saved. Generation Z, you're all condemned. The Bible says, Jesus Christ said, he that believeth not is condemned already. If you've not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God, John 3:18, you're condemned. You're lost. You hate God. Romans chapter 3, chapter 1. There's none good, no, not one. You're lost. And you need to be saved because you see the wages of sin is death. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Do you want what you deserve? I don't want what I deserve. But you can have grace, the free grace of forgiveness in Christ, if you believe the gospel. That means you truly repent, turn from your sin, and by believing the gospel that Christ died for your sin, was buried and rose again. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 20, in the words of the Apostle Paul, verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith about what? Faith that he died for your sins and was buried and rose again. The Son of God died for your sins personally, was buried, evidencing his death, and rose again the third day. Because there's an empty tomb outside of Jerusalem. I was there. I talked to the guy who gave the garden tomb tours. He was Dobby. He was a British soldier who had a mustache, was all twisted at the end, big high gray mustache, and also his eyebrows were twisted and waxed. I didn't say anything like it in my life. Dobby, that was his name. There's an empty tomb outside of Jerusalem because Jesus Christ was in it, and he's not in there anymore. He's risen from the dead. And he's raised so that God can declare you righteous when you believe the gospel. So, Generation Z, it has nothing to do with your works, has nothing about being doing good, has nothing to do about doing religious things, has to do about one thing, repentance towards God and faith towards his Christ, Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins and was buried and rose again. You need to be saved. So when you return to the Reformation Bible and you're saved by the grace of God, now you have the Spirit of God inside you and you're able to resist Satan and his mystery of iniquity and the men who serve it out of the Roman papacy and their secret societies. And so what do we do? Well, the Jesuits are moving in for the kill here in America because they're getting us involved in a two-front war, just as I spoke of 15 years ago, that they would have a Protestant white leader, an apostate Protestant leader, who is a Freemason. And that's Donald Trump. Trump is their hand-picked choice for new right, quasi-fascist, two-front war against China that the Jesuits controlled. Remember, the Jesuits put Chinese communists in power in 1949. The John Birch Society has a bunch of good information on that. Shows you how they sent the 6th Fleet out of Washington to block Chiang Kai-shek from his invasion of Red China to do away with Mao, that pervert who used to seduce Chinese virgins every Thursday night, according to his wife. Well, they're all perverts. And so then Mao couldn't be overthrown because he was protected by the Pope. By the poop running Washington Military District of Columbia. It's been a military district since 1933. And so they gave China all of our top technology. You can read the book, Year of the Rat, under Billy Boy Clinton, controlled by Jesuits. Gave Red China all of our top technology. So the Jesuits run Red China. The Jesuits run Russia. Russia hasn't changed since the USSR. It's still the same Jesuits who run it. Maybe changed some policies. But the Jesuits run Russia. They run China. They run America. And they run the government of Israel to the detriment of the Hebrew Jewish Israelites living therein. And by the way, one of their purposes now in this war is to blame the Jews, so that the wealthy Jews of America will flee to Israel, because that's where the Pope wants them, to further build the revived Latin kingdom of Jerusalem. But the average Jew in this country, they're going to be sacrificed, as was done in Europe in the 1930s and 40s. They killed the average Jews in Europe and in Poland, Eastern Europe, but the wealthy Jews managed to escape to America, or they went to Israel. I was a friend of Joel Bannerman. Joel Bannerman was a major Israeli correspondent. He reported on the political events of Europe along with my other friend, Barry Chamish. They're both dead now. And I said to Joel, you know, maybe I need to start helping American Jews leave America, calling for them to leave, make Aliyah to Israel. He said, Eric, don't waste your time. I said, what do you mean? He said, we don't want them. We don't want these Japs in our Israel, the Jewish American princesses, these spoiled brats. We don't want them there. Leave them here. I said, well, they're going to die in the camps. He said, that's right, they will, but that's too bad, isn't it? The Jews in Israel generally don't want American Jews there. And so when Netanyahu gave money to the Jews in Houston, he only gave it to a few to leave, but the rest of the Jews are going to be blamed for everything going down here, blamed by these Jesuit coadjutors and then also Archbishop Nicholas Fuentes, who's been Jesuit-tutored. Everything he says with regard to Roman Catholic doctrine is true. All you Protestants are heretics, and we shouldn't have the Bible reading among the people. That should be given to us by the priests. That's all Jesuit doctrine. Tucker Carlson, he makes Nicholas Fuentes come to national importance. They're all working together to create anti-Jewish fury here. And so, that's what they want. That's what they did in Germany. They blamed the Jews for the loss of World War I, the stab in the back. It was the Jews who betrayed the German people. And so now we're going to round up the Jews and send them to the camps when the Nazis come to power. The Germans were betrayed by Kaiser Wilhelm II. Kaiser Wilhelm II was the one who deliberately lost World War I. Kaiser Wilhelm II was the one who allowed the Jesuits to re-enter Germany in 1917 when they'd been expelled by Kaiser Wilhelm I and Bismarck in 1872, thereabouts. So they blame the Jews for what some Gentile leader did. And that's what they're going to do here. They're going to blame the Jews for what some Gentile leader does. Oh, it's the Jews influencing Trump. And the reason why Trump's doing these things is because the Jews. No, Trump's doing what he's doing because he's been told by the Archbishop of New York City what to do. Remember the Archbishop was behind Trump and his campaign? They're all working for the Pope, whether it's Biden or Trump or Obama or Clinton or Bush, Bush 1, Bush 2. They're all working for the Jesuit papacy since Franklin Dandable Roosevelt. And if you think they're not, and you're under the illusion that there's really different factions fighting with each other, that's right where the Jesuits want you, in that delusion. Nothing goes down here without the Jesuits and their CIA, NSA orchestrating all of it. From the Jesuit civil rights movement, where it weaponized the blacks against the whites. They didn't care about the black man's rights. They wanted to use him to hate white people, to commit robbery, rape, and murder every day against us white people. Even Charlie Kirk says these blacks kill 600 white women a year in this country. It's more than that. It's more like 3,000. I say they kill 10 white people every day in this country. They rape 100 white women every day in this country because they weaponize these blacks against us with forced miscegenation, and ultimately then all these crimes take place. They couldn't happen if there wasn't forced miscegenation. All the political sports, all the professional sports, all race mixed, all miscegenated, and all pro-black and anti-white. Even with the women's sports, like with Caitlin... She's a Roman Catholic girl that was a basketball player. When those savage black wenches beat her up all the time on the floor, and there's not one black band that comes out and denounces them, not one that I know of, except maybe Jesse Lee Peterson, who said that the white man builds cities and the black man destroys them. You listen to Jesse Lee Peterson. Why? Because the Jesuits have weaponized the blacks against us whites, because we whites are apostate, we've departed from the Lord, we've departed from his book, we've departed from biblical doctrine, and hence now we're going to get it. We're going to get our righteous deserts. And that will be a two-front war where you Generation Z white men are going to be sent overseas, you're going to die, and you're not coming back, whether it's in the Far East or whether in the Middle East. Not coming back. And so that'll further weaken the country, so when our Sino-Soviet Muslim and European invasion takes place, we won't have vibrant white men to defend the place, and we're going to lose to our invaders, just like the Germans lost to their invaders at the end of World War II. After they were betrayed by the German High Command, we will be betrayed by the American High Command and Joint Chiefs of Staff. They're going to scuttle our ships. Don't be surprised if in Iran today, off the Strait of Hormuz, one of our ships is sunk. And when they sink one of our ships, that's an act of war, and therefore they'll be able to declare war against Iran. And then meanwhile, their sleeper cells they brought in here illegally through the border, they can be activated by the CIA and other intelligence communities to commit acts of terrorism or whatever, killing white people primarily, so that they can then justify martial law and the roundups and send them to all the camps. This is what they're going to do. Why do you think they have all these camps here, Generation Z? Don't you know there's 600 FEMA camps in this country? Don't you know the military government has purchased over 2 billion hollow point rounds to be used against us when hollow points are outlawed in war? Did you know that? Generation Z, you're doomed. You're going to be mass exterminated. Unless you repent and believe the gospel that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Start reading the Reformation King James Bible. Start a local church that will be preaching biblical doctrine and using the right Bible and denouncing the Roman papacy. Ultimately calling for your county to declare its independence from the empire and start your own new nation, as was done in Mecklenburg County in 1775 in North Carolina, led by 28 thoroughgoing white Protestant Calvinists. The answer is not cleaning up the swamp. The answer is a declaration of independence on your county level or on your state level. You got to cut away from all of this, because the Jesuits run the swamp. They run the Republicans. They run the Democrats. They run the liberals. They run that other party. They run it all. And they run it through their CIA, because their CIA and mafia works together, as they did in the assassination of Kennedy. And they'll take out anybody that they're able to take out to keep themselves in power. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. The Jesuits use that verse in Zechariah to maintain their empire. So Generation Z, this is you got about an hour of 100 years of history. This is what they did. And it's my prayer that you would truly repent and believe the gospel, be saved, not become a Christian, but be saved and begin to serve the Lord and resist sin. Resist unto blood striving against sin, Hebrews 12:4. May God help you to do it. Brother Eric John Phelps, thank you for listening to this podcast today. It's April the 30th, 2026. I have a book, Vatican Assassins, Wounded in the House of My Friends. Go to my website, vaticanassassins.org, or 24/7 World Radio. Pick up the CD, the e-book. I also have broadcasts there that you can obtain and other things. Please send your gifts to RBT. P.O. Box 306, Newmanstown, Pennsylvania, 17073. Or you can send it to rbpbdonate@comcast.net with PayPal. Or you can send it to my Cash App at cashtag Eric, E-R-I-C, John, J-O-N, Phelps, P-H-E-L-P-S, Cash App. Also, I need to raise about $160,000 for a roof repair, a roof replacement, actually, on our place. And so, I have to tear off this big flat roof, and it's been there since 1950. It was re-roofed, and the people did a terrible job, so it has to be redone. So anything that you can do to help, I'd dearly appreciate it. And you can send your gift to RBT, P.O. Box 306, Newmanstown, Pennsylvania. Please just send a check. Don't use PayPal or Cash App. Just use the check if you would. And so until we meet next time, may the Lord bless you to do his will according to his word, the AV 1611 Reformation English Bible. Maranatha.